You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, National's coalition partners in ACT and NZ First found themselves arguing over Air New Zealand, specifically over whether or not, during a time of struggle, the government should sell their shares in the company. National has said that they are not currently considering any moves surrounding these shares. Education Minister Erica Stanford announced yet more teacher training initiatives last week in order to bolster the education workforce. In addition to what she says is already the highest number of teachers since 2004 and the highest number of teachers in training. The government has also spoken about the release of the newest New Zealand Crime and Victim Survey, claiming that violent crime statistics going down proves the effectiveness of their tough-on-crime approach. This week, I spoke to National MP Ryan Hamilton about all of these topics, starting with those Air New Zealand shares.
Just to get us started, I want to touch on the debate last week around the government's shares in Air New Zealand. Both coalition parties have disagreed on kind of what we should be doing with those shares, but what is the government's actual stance on whether or not we should sell?
Well, our Prime Minister's been quite clear that it's not something that he's looking at all. So he's ruled it out, certainly from the National Party perspective, and obviously you need that National Party support to entertain that. So I think it's fair to say that it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
We're looking forward to the next election and further campaigns, especially when you're looking at kind of these potential coalition partners and future policy. Is this likely not to be an area where the government takes a stance on, but where there's a little bit of discussion?
Oh, I mean, obviously, I guess the first thing is to get through the election and see where it lands. And then obviously, then coalition arrangements talk. We're obviously in a mature MMP environment now, and this is the first time we've had a formal three-way coalition, so it's quite likely that there'll be more coalitions in the future, and those are all conversations that will form part of it all. But certainly there's no appetite within the National Party currently to put that forward.
And obviously Prime Minister Christopher Luxon used to serve as the CEO within Air New Zealand. Not that the National Party has, not a particularly strong stance on this issue, but what is kind of the response to any potential worry that somebody who did used to serve in a role at the company may have influence in what we do with those shares?
Oh, I think they're quite separate roles. I mean, obviously, he's been in the role he is now for, I think, five plus years. So there's a healthy degree of separation from that. But I think those are, two separate conversations. Prime Minister's totally focused on what's best for New Zealand and New Zealanders, not just partial shares of one company that New Zealand is a stakeholder in. We've got lots of, interests, obviously the energy sector and Genesis and Meridian that New Zealand's also stakeholders on. So I don't think we can just isolate one company over the other. I think the greater question is what's the appetite for New Zealanders and what's best to get New Zealand moving forward right now.
And I mean, on that, kind of looking at both of these calls around the shares come from a concern over how Air New Zealand is performing. Looking towards kind of, managing all of those different assets, does the government have any kind of plans for helping Air New Zealand through this to get the best out of it for New Zealanders?
Oh, I don't think so. There's obviously ebbs and flows within big companies, balance sheets and movements of capital, and airplanes, airline industries are no different. I don't think there's been any attempt or approach from the New Zealand board to New Zealand government in that regard. I think just because they've had a year where their net profit is down, doesn't mean the balance sheet's not strong and they don't have a strategic plan to get out and get ahead. You've heard the CEO of New Zealand talk to some of those factors, and that's something for him and the New Zealand board to work through, but certainly not something that the government would be entertaining at this stage.
Moving on, Education Minister Erica Stanford last week announced a boost for teacher training. Looking in kind of the grander scheme of teaching especially, which has been a hotspot in terms of the curriculum and these teacher numbers, what sort of does this boost mean, according to the National Party, for kind of their stance and their progress on these issues?
So I guess looking back to our budget last year, obviously we made a big commitment to continue to grow the teacher workforce, and there were some big initiatives around the learning support coordinators, which just by the way was, you know, really significant. So even when I would pop into local schools, teachers would say, you know, the dynamics of classrooms as we've known them over the last 10 to 20 years have changed. We've got a lot more learning disabilities and high needs individuals, and that was shifting, I guess, the balance of, you know, the classroom behaviour and dynamic, and putting more demand on teachers to not only kind of continue the mainstream curriculum, but to sort of have to deal with some of these other issues and challenges that are, you know, a big pull on the teacher resource, but also can impact the other students in the class. And so there was the biggest announcement in terms of learning support coordinators last year. And now we're starting to see that funding flow through. So, for example, the Aspiring Principals Program and the Beginning Principals Program, from Term 2, 200 aspiring principals and up to 450 early career principals will now benefit from a professional development pathway. So that's really good, obviously, for the leadership of those that are, you know, at the principal level of seeking that sort of leadership. But also there's been a big boost for in-class training places for new teacher. So this year, training spots will increase from 242 last year. Now this year they'll increase to 533. So that's almost double. Peer-to-peer principal support from Term 1. The leadership advisory service is going to increase from 16 to 32 principals. And supporting rural teaching is also with a new program they launched called Go Rural. That fund promotes teaching in rural schools with grants available to student teachers to try and get teachers embedded in those more isolated schooling communities. So there's been quite a, you can sort of see that the budget announcement last year, but starting to see the impact of that through the various programs start impact, you know, real time now.
And all of this has kind of come to be around this concern for kind of the state of the education system in New Zealand. Looking at these numbers, what guarantee is there that this increase in numbers will actually have these positive effects on the education of young New Zealanders rather than just filling places?
Well, I guess the retention of teachers is a key thing as well. So obviously we want to ensure that the stability of the school environment is quite solid for the students. And teacher retention rates have always been pretty steady. In primary, they've been around 89 to 90%. And they've actually increased up to 93.8 in primary and up to 22.4 in secondary. So that shows that teachers are actually more happy in that environment in terms of stability. Obviously, we did a lot of curriculum changes around an hour a day of reading, writing and maths. But with that, we didn't just sort of say, look, this is what we think is right for the kids and listen to it. We've supplied teachers with a complete paint-by-numbers syllabus, training, work-along program, so they've got all the resources they need to succeed. And we're starting to see the success of those results coming through at the end of last year. So that was really encouraging.
Lastly, I just want to speak about the New Zealand Crime and Victims Survey. The government spoke of the results of the survey last week as evidence of the tough-on-crime approaching working. But is there anything to actually back this up within those numbers?
Well, that's a pretty significant drop in numbers. So from October 2023 to October 2025, 49,000 fewer victims reported. And obviously those reports, they do fluctuate and they do oscillate. But, you know, nearly 50,000 fewer victims reported in that time, which I think, you know, is worthy of just looking at and acknowledging the work that's gone into that. There's been a 22% drop in serious repeat youth offending, and we've had an 85% drop in RAM raids. So you've got to look at the correlation of what we've done since we elected in 2023. You know, obviously one of the first things we did was remove Labor had just pulled out the prison reduction sentence because they could see it wasn't working. But we gave police tools to deal with gangs and banned the gang patches. We stopped the cultural reports. We made it tougher for judges to discount sentences, or we capped it at 40%, because we would see, you know, cultural reports, guilty pleas, and all these types of discounts being applied, and someone initially might have had a five-year sentence, gets whittled down to 2 years on home detention, and was back out doing the crime, stealing from supermarkets, involved in ram raids, and that sort of thing. So by a correlation, layer by layer over time, it's starting to have an impact, and I think the accountability measures are, you know, being seen, and obviously it's being felt too. And just even just last week, you know, there was some more beat teams set up. Well, there was one in Hamilton where I'm electorate MP set up, which has been fantastic. So more visibility of police out in the street. All those things are starting to have an impact, and that's only after, you know, 2 years. So I think it's positive. I think it's what New Zealanders want to see and feel.
The National Party have especially pointed towards the increased police presence as kind of a driving force for these stats going down. But what do you say about concerns of the sustainability, particularly around what could either be labelled as a fear-based approach to policing, or just the overall cost on the taxpayer to fund this increased police presence?
I think it's all of the above. I mean, visibly, obviously having seen more police out in the beat is a natural deterrent, and it gives people a sense of connection and more of an accountability that they're being watched, or that, you know, those that would seek to commit crime are being watched. But obviously we're not afraid to resource it as well, so they've got to be resourced to do the job and backed. And it's not just obviously the police, it's the court system. We're looking at ways to improve the efficiency of that so we don't get bottlenecks. It's the whole ecosystem around what we're doing, but even starting, going back to our conversation on education, you know, driving attendance in schools, so you haven't got 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds sort of with no real accountability. The parents think they're at school, but they're not. You know, they're actually in school. We're monitoring and measuring attendance to hold them accountable, hold parents, teachers, principals accountable a bit more, and then obviously, you know, starting to level up the expectation in the community about what is acceptable standards of, you know, civilised society. And so all those little things are starting to work together and starting to bear fruit, which is really fantastic to see.
But again, going back to that increased police presence and that feeling of being watched, is this not just kind of a weaponization of a kind of fear, especially when looking at, you know, the government's recent moves to grant police powers for move-on orders on what are very vulnerable people in so-called rough sleepers? How do you defend from claims that really the police presence is just trying to make people scared for being around?
I don't think people are scared of police around unless they've got something to hide. I mean, move-on orders, obviously that's still got to work its way through Parliament, but that's actually quite a proactive and proportionate tool. And obviously, you know, people like to say it's just going to be weaponized against homeless and rough sleepers, but it's also about those that are intoxicated, those that are a disturbance in a public place, where currently the police couldn't actually do anything with them until they reach a threshold where they can arrest. This is actually a much more proactive way of saying, hey, your behaviour is actually not acceptable, we're going to move you out of this area. And that's actually a way of, I guess, interrupting the behaviour and preventing it from getting entrenched, preventing them from escalating, which can actually cause harm to them and those around them. And even things like if you've got a, my area commander used this example, if you've got a creepy dude in a van hanging around schools and parents go, that doesn't look right, again, the police have got nothing to do, but if they suspect there's inappropriate behaviour, they can actually issue that driver with a move on. So it actually, there's nowhere for them to go in the sense that it just interrupts them entrenching behaviour, which isn't acceptable. So there's a lot of good that can come from that tool. It's not going to be just weaponised for beggars and homeless.
That was National Party MP Ryan Hamilton talking about Air New Zealand shares, teacher training boosts and the New Zealand Crime and Victims Survey.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.